Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome. I remember the first time that my dad invited me to help him on a job. See, what you might not know is my dad was an electrician and he was a contractor in that regards. And so I was pretty young. I think I was about 9 years old. My dad said, hey, come with me. I'm on this job. Give me a hand. So I was like super excited to go with him. We show up to the job site. It's this house that's being built. And so there's all kinds of contractors there, right? Carpenters and plumbers and bricklayers and, you know, and then my dad and I, right? Like, we're the electricians. And so we walk up and I'm imagining all of the things that I'm going to be doing and I'm looking forward to helping. And as we get to the job site, we're walking in, we're going to the place where we're going to be working. All of a sudden it hits me. I don't know how to do anything, right? Like I have no skill set that is going to work here. And I think about that time that I realized it, it dawned on my dad too. This kid doesn't know anything. So I remember he kind of was panically looking around and he grabbed a roll of wire and he said, okay, hold on to this. I'm going to go up in the attic and give it to me and then I'm going to pull it up and I'll start running and I just need you to hold it. And I was like, great. So we get it, you know, I get it up there to him. He starts pulling it and I'm just holding on to it as it's rolling up into right the attic. And all of a sudden it hits me. A bucket could do my job, right? Like literally, my dad could have put the wire in a bucket. Actually, might have done it easier because my dad would have been yanking on it a whole lot less. And yeah, I'll tell you, as I'm going, I'm like, in that moment, I felt pretty useless. You know, it's like, I'm not doing anything of value in this moment. And I wonder if you've ever been in a situation along those lines where you just felt useless. Like, I don't know how to help. I don't know how to add value, how to, you know, do anything that's going on right now. And I have the sense that there are far too many Christians who feel useless. There's too many Christians who feel useless. They see pastors doing stuff. They see elders doing stuff. They see staff members and ministry leaders doing stuff, right? Engaging in ministry, small group co-leaders, all these different types of things. And they're engaged in ministry, and Christians are going, man, I wish I could, but I don't know enough. Right? I don't know what I should know to be able to do that. And so as they're seeing other people do things and they're not, there's this feeling of uselessness that wells up inside of them. And if that uselessness lingers around long enough, it can lead to disinterest. Disinterest can lead to disengagement. And disengagement can end up leaving way too many people simply filling a seat. Sitting on the sidelines, watching others engage in ministry. And that's not what you're created for. And that's not what you were born again in Jesus Christ for either, was to watch other people do things, right? And so what I want to do today is I want to help you discover how learning to serve others in ministry can actually change your life. That's where we're going today. And so if you brought a Bible, as Pastor Matt mentioned, open up to Ephesians 4 is where we're going to be at today. While you're going there, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Super glad every single one of you are here today. I especially want to welcome all of our guests. Thanks for joining us here. And then also, I'm wondering if everybody who's here in the house today, could you do me a favor and would you help me welcome everybody that's joining us at Lighthouse Online? Can you let them know we love them? Yes, we are so glad you guys are a part of our family. Whether you're here in Hancock County, maybe you're somewhere farther away, we would love it if you're in the area. Come and join us sometime soon and be in the house with us. It's just different when you're here in the room. So we're going to be in this teaching of All In Together. And today we have a special treat because it's not... Oh, you don't just have to sit through me today. You actually get the treat of joining me for teaching today is everybody's favorite elder, Larry Sewell. Will you guys welcome him up this morning? Yes. Should we make it clear that elder is a pastoral, like a ministry role here?
It doesn't mean old person.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it does. It does.
In some cases, but not always.
Yeah. People are like, wow, that might be the rudest introduction I've ever heard. Welcome everybody's favorite old person, Larry.
I'm glad to be here with everybody except Fritz. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right, moving right along. We are going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Before we read that, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to praise you for everybody of every age. And we're grateful for this family and what you're doing here. Just the unique levels of unity, the fact that so many people are on mission with the gospel in this place and just simply want to see you at work in our county, in our lives, and in the lives of other people. And so we pray today, as we're reading the scriptures, as we're talking about truth, that you would help us to think very thoughtfully about how we can trust you, new ways we can put our faith in you as a result of what we learn from this passage today. We know that the starting place is information. We know the starting place is truth, but we know truth always finds its completion in the ways that we live, the ways that we interact with other people. And so take us to that place today, we pray, Holy Spirit. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen. Amen.
Okay, Ephesians 4, we're going to read out of, we're going to start in verse 7, read the next couple of passages, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Here's what it says. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so what we want to do is we want to take this passage and talk a little bit about a truth that is there and what that means for us. So Larry, there's a lot here on the bone. Why don't you get us started?
Okay, first of all, let's start by just doing kind of a flyover and talk about spiritual gifts just a little bit. That's something that's talked about in the Bible, several different places. Now, in this passage, it starts with the word charis. Do you know what the word charis means? It's translated grace in the Bible. That's your daughter's name, right?
Daughter's name, yep.
Yeah, charis. So because God is gracious, because God is good, he has given gifts, he's given capacities to Christians to use in the kingdom of God. That's out of his goodness. It's out of his grace. Now, spiritual gifts are the capacities that God gives us to help others. That's kind of a simple definition. There's lots of lists in the Bible of what spiritual gifts are. I don't think any of those gifts or those lists are comprehensive. But I would say this, God equips us to do the things that he has called us to do. We can trust in that. Now, this is not an obligation kind of passage. This isn't a you must do this thing because, and it's not an obligation. But instead, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're talking about an invitation. We are invited to use the everything that God has given us to build the kingdom. And most people, when they step into that, they find great joy because that's how we're wired. We're wired to walk the way God has equipped us. Now, the emphasis in Scripture, as you look through these lists of spiritual gifts, is not on an intellectual understanding. It's not trying to dice this word and that word and try to figure out what the gifts mean. But instead, the emphasis is typically on using the gift. It's on actually stepping into ministry and using everything that God has given us. For instance, in 1 Peter, when he talks about this, he says, well, if your gift is speaking, then speak as if you're speaking the very words of God. And if you're teaching Scripture, you are, right? But speak. Use that gift in the way God has called you to do it. Then it says this, if your gift is serving, well, then serve with all the strength that God gives you. Okay, all the emphasis is on using the gift, not defining them and having intellectual understanding about those gifts. I think in a very practical way, most people discover their gifts when they get involved in ministry. As you serve, it becomes apparent to you how God has wired you. And you find that because he gives you great joy when you use those gifts. Now, the leaders in the church, according to this passage in verses 11, 12, he's talking about the leaders, and he talks about them as trainers, as equippers. That's interesting. You know, most churches that you'll go to, about 15% of the people are involved in ministry, and 85% of the people, they're the watchers and the complainers. Okay, that's how most churches are, right? It's like this 15 and 85 rule, okay? That is exactly opposite. It's completely upside down. It's not at all what the scriptures talk about. The scriptures talk about something completely different. In fact, what the scriptures talk about is that the leaders, their job is to equip the saints, the Christians, for the work of the ministry. They are the trainers. They are the equippers, not necessarily the ones doing everything. They're getting other people ready for the ministry that they're called to. You may not know this, but roughly 60% of the regular attenders at Lighthouse are involved in ministry in some way on a monthly basis. 60%. Okay, we're pushing up towards that ratio where instead of 15-85, it's more like 85-15 the other way around, right? Now, Paul gives us great insight in this passage as to how he thinks the church is to operate based on what the leaders are supposed to equip the people to do. You can see it right there in those verses. For instance, the role of the apostles, people who were spreading the good news and building churches. Okay, the leaders of the church, they're supposed to equip people to do that. Okay, so it gives us an insight as to what the church's role in this world is. The role of prophets, helping others to become proclaimers of God's word, speakers of truth. The role of evangelists, that is, showing people who are not yet believers, not yet followers of Jesus, the truth of the gospel, equipping people to be able to carry out the role of evangelism. How about pastors? You know, there is a great need for pastoral care in this church every week, right? The role of pastor, caring for spiritual needs of people, caring for the other needs of people within the church, and teachers, raising leaders up who can teach others the truth of Scripture, and not just teach them facts, but how to respond, hear the voice of God, and to walk with God. These are important roles in the church, and all of these roles kind of cut across gender, circumstance, you know, social status, all of that is just kind of cut through all of us together doing what God has called us to do. One of the questions that Fritz has been asking recently, kind of in the staff meetings and across teaching team, that kind of thing, is what would happen if Lighthouse in the next 6 months had 200 new missionaries? 200 people that are missionaries in their schools, in their places of work, in their neighborhoods, maybe even in their families. People equipped to do the kinds of things that are talked about in this passage among the people that they know. What if that were to happen? A question that keeps running in my mind is this: what if God is enlarging our circle of influence as Lighthouse as we move to County Road 99? Because at County Road 99, we'll have a lot more room to invite people in, where we can expand the influence that God has given us. A third question, how do we prepare as a church to plant more New Testament churches? That's what happened in Acts, and that's what's happened right here in Bluffton, you know, growing out of Lighthouse, and Lighthouse growing out of Living Hope. What is maybe God calling us to do in terms of planting new churches? I would say this, we all together, as the body of Christ, we are Team Lighthouse. God has called us to this, and we are invited to step into using the gifts that God has blessed us with.
And I think one of the reasons there's such a diversity of gifts and why we need leaders who are training and equipping the church family in that is because when you look in the New Testament, ministry is so broad. It is so wide. You know, right here in verse 12, it talks about that those roles, right, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they are equipping the saints for, it says, the works of service. And that phrase, works of service, literally is translated service that benefits another person, right? This is help that actually benefits someone else. Doesn't necessarily benefit the one who's doing it. This is done out of love. This is done out of an act of grace, of just giving towards another person. That's what ministry is, by the way. So when we're talking about ministry, we're talking about serving, helping in a way that actually benefits another person. And when you look in the New Testament, you actually begin to see that ministry is really, really broad. And especially even this word that we're talking about out of verse 12, that word is used to describe things like missions. When Barnabas and Paul are traveling around sharing the gospel with other people where the gospel has not been. Ministry is used to describe simply helping other people, right? Helping them with some basic needs that they have in their lives. Ministry is used to describe when people give financially towards the gospel. It's distributing food. It's praying for others. Overwhelmingly, when you're reading through the New Testament and you see this term ministry being used or works of service from verse 12, overwhelmingly, it's centered around teaching truth from Scripture and teaching the gospel. That even in all of those things, whether you're helping a neighbor, if you're distributing food, if you're being present when somebody's going through a really challenging season, the center of that is still the gospel. It's not good works for the sake of good works. In fact, it's serving other people, pointing them to the hope in Jesus Christ. And one of the things, we touched on this last week just briefly, that 8 years ago when Lighthouse Community started, one of the things that was very, very central to who we are is this idea of creating a place where every believer can use the gifts that God has given them. That was one of the primary things. We had this whole host of people just said, man, we want to be used in ministry. We want God to use our lives in really clear and remarkable ways. And what I love about that is that has still been one of the primary focus as a church, is creating lots of space for many, many believers to discover their gifts and to use them in ministry. That's why we leverage that language, right? We help people say yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives. You know, a lot of times when I'll say that, I'll focus on Jesus' leadership, and I think that's right. But recently, about the last 5 months, God has really shifted my attention to that word, help. We help, right? We help people discover the reality of who Jesus is and how they can walk with him and how that absolutely transforms our lives. And so when Paul is writing to this church in Ephesus, I think he envisioned a church where the overwhelming majority of the people who were there were discovering the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit had given to them, and they were now using them to the benefit of other people in their church and to the benefit of other people in the city. Now, the reason Paul is talking about this, the reason we're talking about this, and this is so critical, is serving actually leads the church in a couple of ways. And so, Larry, when we're thinking about serving, how does that impact our church family?
Yeah, church giving and serving actually tends to grow the church. Okay, as we invite people in, as people are engaged in the church, it actually grows the church and the mission of the church itself. Paul talks about three different things and three different words in this section of Scripture. As you go to verses 12 and 13, he talks about unity, he talks about knowledge, and he talks about maturity. And all of those somehow fit together with us in how we serve within the church. You know, when I think about unity, you know, the unity that we have as Christians is not based on similar status in life or something like that, but it's based on one thing. It's based on the gospel. It's based on we have something in common with every other Christian. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul lays this out for us, and he says this, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive in Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace that we've been saved. You know, every Christian shares that piece of knowledge, that piece of information. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and that draws us all together in unity. And that's the starting point for the service within the church. But then there's also knowledge. And when the Bible talks about knowledge, it's not just talking about information. It's not talking about having more facts and I win because I'm smarter than you. It's not talking about that at all. What it's talking about is knowledge that somehow has reached the heart and it's transforming us. You know, when we really grasp what God has done for us, it changes how we view other people. It changes us from the inside out. It's just this natural thing. You know, we get a glimpse of what Jesus has done for us, and that changes how we see people who are far away from him and people within the church who have needs. And finally, the word maturity is in there. You know, the goal for our lives is Jesus' character in us. You know, Jesus, when he came, God in the flesh, he's the one that perfectly shows us what God is like, right? We can look at the life of Jesus, and if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. You know, you've seen what God is like by looking at Jesus. It's always been interesting to me, as you kind of read through stuff Paul writes, there's two different scriptures, two different books, two different letters to different churches. And one, he talks about immersing our lives in the scriptures. And then the other, he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result of those two things is the same. Yeah, it's joy in our walk with Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. God has revealed himself to us, okay? And when we let our minds be renewed by the Scriptures, it changes us and it equips us for Christian ministry.
So at Simply Serving in ministry, learning how to serve other people, it causes us as individuals and as the church to grow in unity. We understand who Jesus is with greater clarity. We also start maturing, right, which is the character of Jesus Christ, everything that Larry just mentioned. When you begin to look at other places in the scripture, you begin to see that serving others in ministry actually is also an evidence of our faith. It reveals what we really believe, what we say is truly valuable, those things that are central to our lives. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 26 puts it this way, that for just as the human body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead. And so this idea that it's not simply enough to only mentally agree that Jesus is God. It's not enough just to go, yes, he did die on the cross historically. He was raised from the dead historically. But actually, this belief crosses into a way that it genuinely shapes and transforms our very lives, our minds. This is everything that Larry was just talking about. And it flows out into helping other people. Now, there was a guy by the name of William Booth. He lived in the 19th century, and you might be familiar with that name. He is the founder of the Salvation Army, and he wrote this. He said, "Faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith and then works, and then faith again and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other." Until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. It is not that faith and works are in opposition and fighting against one another. In fact, they should be so in step, you can barely distinguish which is faith and which is works. Because it's all led by faith. It's all, right, just walking in step with obedience to the things that God is calling us to do. This is what Paul is inviting us into. Now, I want to be really clear here. We don't serve other people in order to be saved. That's very important to understand. We're not helping others as if so we rack up enough points on a spiritual scoreboard and that will guarantee getting into heaven. We don't serve other people in order to be saved. We serve other people because we have been saved. It is a natural outflow of what it means to have genuine faith in Jesus Christ. And it's evidence, right? And so really quickly, I want to share a little bit of evidence of faith that has been clear over the last 12 months at Lighthouse Community. Some of these things I actually didn't even learn until this week, and it's absolutely amazing. So here's a little bit of evidence among our church family. So in the last 12 months, Lighthouse Community has had 688 opportunities to pray with people on Sunday mornings. Wow, that is great, right? We're talking about people coming and engaging with our prayer leaders. Over the last 12 months, 233 first and second time guests have made their way into this location and into this building. And what's really cool is more than half of them end up sticking around and staying a part of our church family. Just absolutely incredible. 80% of our average attendance on Sunday morning signs up for a small group, which is amazing, just incredible. Lighthouse Kids, over the last 12 months, they have grown from an average of 95 kids on Sunday morning to over 104. Just right in this building at Clubhouse, right? It is a pandemonium. And so we are ready for County Road 99 and all of that. Larry mentioned the percentage. When we get to individuals, there are 222 people who are serving in ministry at least once a month. 222 unique individuals. Here's a financial stat that just blows my mind. This last year, just under about $600,000 has been given specifically to the building fund, to County Road 99. And then along with that, just under $490,000 has been given to the general fund. And so in just the last year, this church family has given about $1 million right here in this location. This is a very generous church. It's amazing what God is doing in this place. On Sunday mornings, we're averaging right about 350 people who are gathering between both services. And last year, 14 people took the step of baptism and 48 people said yes to Jesus as their forgiver and leader for the very first time in their lives. Guys, God is moving, right? God is moving. Now, quick break for a moment, because I want you to, some of you need to be thinking about taking that next step of baptism. And so on the back of your connection card, right, next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating baptism. If that's something you're interested in, get more info about, let us know, mark that. We will get you information on how to take that next step together. Because listen, serving others, taking these steps, this is evidence that we are walking with Jesus. Now, I want to say this too. All those numbers I just shared, those are specific to Lighthouse Community only. That does not include anything that the Lord has done in the last 12 months at Bluffton Community. That does not include anything the Lord has done at Living Hope in the last 12 months. That's just this location alone. And so there is clear evidence that the gospel is alive in Lighthouse Community and in Hancock County, and it's really, really exciting. So where are we landing this thing? Why are we sharing all of this stuff? We're kind of boiling down to this point right here, right? It's kind of almost begging the question, what should we do then, right? If all of this is true, what should we do? Here's what I think the next step is. Learn how to serve others. Learn how to serve others. And if there's a place to start, you go, well, how do I begin learning how to serve others? I would invite you to go back to our passage in Ephesians 4, just for a moment. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10. See, what Paul does there is he says, hey, Jesus ascended on high. He rescued, right? He beat the enemy and he gave gifts to his people. And then he goes on this little parenthetical thought. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended, right? And he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And so what Paul is saying, he's going, listen, Jesus Christ, God himself, the darling of heaven, left heaven and he lowered himself. He brought himself into this world and he took on the very nature of a servant. You know what Paul is doing? He's essentially using some of the language from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Take a look at that passage for just a moment. Philippians 2, it says this. Though he was God, talking about Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. If you want to learn how to serve others, this is where it starts. Humbling myself before the Lord, knowing what Jesus Christ has done for me, which opens up the door for him to do work in me, right? Jesus said to his disciples, the greatest among you will be your servant, right? Actually, the way up in the kingdom is actually down through humility and through service to others. Learning to serve begins with humility. And by the way, learning how to serve others will absolutely change your life. It'll change your life. It'll change your friendships. If you're married, it'll change your marriage. If you have kids, it'll change your relationship with your kids. It'll change how you interact with people at your job, how you're engaging with other people out in the community. When you learn how to serve and you let the Holy Spirit transform your life and you begin to serve the way that Jesus did, it'll absolutely change your life. I mean, think about it. Some of the relationships you have the most struggle with actually may be some of the relationships you need to begin serving in the most. You actually need to come with humility. You actually need to find, here's just a thought, if I can talk, just for a moment, only because I'm one, if I can talk to the husbands in the room, just for a quick moment, right? You know what the scripture says about the role of a husband in the marriage? A lot of times it gets talked about, we're the leaders of the family, you know, we will lead and we have the spiritual covering and we will, blah, 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 blah. I don't, whatever. You know how Ephesians 5 puts it? You know what husbands' roles are? To lay down their lives for their wives. The role of the husband is to lay down their lives the way that Christ laid down his life for the church. Go back, seriously, read Ephesians 5. There is far less about, I am strong and I will do all these things and I will tell you what this family's going to do. And it is far more about, how do I serve you? How do I wash my bride with the water of the word? How do I beautify her so that she's ready to be received by Christ? How do I lead her spiritually? You know, some of this challenge that you have in your marriage may actually be solved by simply humbling yourself before the Lord and coming to your marriage with a place of servitude. How could your relationship with your friends be changed if you spent less time thinking about what you can get from them and more ways about how you can serve them? If you have kids, how might your relationship with your kids be changed, right? That you come pointing them to hope in Jesus Christ. Not every whim and beck and call and thing that they want, but actually serving them thoughtfully, pointing them to Jesus. Business owners, how might your businesses change? Because you actually come with humility and you realize that your role is a place of service and not a place of this top dog authority, right? Serving, when you learn how to serve the way that Jesus did, it will change your life. And so one of the roles as a church is actually to equip people how to do that. And Larry, I don't know if you can talk to us really quickly about how are ways that we can help our church family step into that.
Well, there's a whole lot we could talk about. Let's just talk about a couple of the values here at Lighthouse. One of our values, a core value, is this. We are clear about transforming truth from the Bible. Things that Fritz was just talking about right there in the scriptures, just to reveal what God has said. We don't need to make new things up, just to reveal those things. We get excited here at Lighthouse when we hear stories, and we hear them regularly, about people who've heard the voice of God through the scriptures, in times of prayer, in times of when they're interacting with other growing disciples. We hear stories like that all the time, where, you know, if you do something because you get tricked into doing it or some obligation, that's one thing. But when you hear God working within you and step into ministry, that's something else. And so we get excited about the results of teaching, and that's why we double down on what the scriptures say. You know, another core here at Lighthouse is that we serve in teams. This is not a one-man show or a person, you know, up front and everybody following. This is us serving in teams. We do that all the way through the church. And I think of, you know, some of the teams. You know, we have a team that works on sermon preparation, you know. So the person that's actually speaking has actually had the benefit of working with a whole team prior to doing that. The greeting team, you know, people who make this a comfortable place for visitors. You know, you walk into this place, you don't know anybody, you don't know this room, and a visitor coming in can be made comfortable and find space to actually hear the gospel because of that service, that kind of encouragement to step inside. How about Lighthouse Kids? We've talked about the number of kids that we have now, and we think that that's going to grow when we go to County Road 99. We've identified that before we go there, we probably need to increase the number of people serving once a month from about 70 to about 100. There's room for 30 new people to step in and actually make a difference in the life of kids. You know, helpers and teachers and all the chaos that goes on in the kids. Man, those kids are impressionable. and you can lead them in faith. You know, there's the group that does administrative help. You know, there's a lot of joy. Those ladies read the Bible together, and they put all the bulletins and everything together on Thursday morning and other stuff to help Anna. I think a lot about the co-leadership model that we have for family groups. We have over 100 people in leadership roles right now in family groups. This is individuals and couples that come together to lead their groups. And normally when you have two couples coming together, you have the gifts of teaching, encouragement, and leadership. All those gifts are in that group, right? And those groups are actually vital ministry at our church. You know, from our groups often comes small group, you know, like one-on-one discipleship. And also our family groups care for people within the church. You know, if we all had to wait for Pastor Fritz to take care of all of us, you know, it probably would be a long, long list before they got down to your need, right? Okay, but a family group can come around and we can care for each other in the family group system. That's why we put so much emphasis on family groups, because we know that that's necessary for us to be connected in the church. I just saw a recent list, and our goal was to have about 40 family groups between here and Bluffton for the next semester coming up, and we're almost there. We're going from 20-some to 40-some. And we think that the need will increase as we go to County Road 99. Not only will it increase, but you'll have all kinds of new people with all kinds of backgrounds and probably people that don't know anything about the gospel all coming and for us to engage them in our church life and our church family. What a wonderful opportunity not to like hold the wire, but actually to run the wire, to be involved in ministry and make the life a difference in the life of people. All of those things are coming. This is a way that we as Christians just kind of step into our faith. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation. All of us are invited to step in here at Lighthouse. We serve together as a team.
And if you're feeling that sense of uselessness, right? You don't have to step into that. You don't have to own that. Right? In fact, you need to hear this. If you're in Christ, you are useful to the kingdom. You have gifts that the Spirit is giving to you. You have opportunities to help other people. It's just an time to step into it, right? God has a plan for you. And so learn how to serve others in ministry. And one of the reasons why is you have to understand there is deep, deep brokenness within Hancock County. You got to know that. There are families who are in over their heads. There are families who are struggling. There are people who are just wrestling with things. But yet a lot of that is masked by the affluence and the wealth of our county. And so because we're pretty financially strong as a region, it's like, oh, I think we're doing okay. And the reality is we're not. We're not. And we need many, many Christ followers who are using their gifts in ministry to serve for the benefit of other people. And you can help others discover the joy of walking with God through faith in Jesus. And as we prepare for County Road 99, as Larry's mentioned, it's not only Lighthouse Kids, pretty much every team has room to double. Just about double. But we can't wait until County Road 99. Actually, the opportunity is now. The opportunity is in front of us right now to begin serving, to begin learning how to humbly approach one another in with the grace of Jesus Christ. Because serving others is a natural outflow of genuine faith in Jesus. You've got to see this tight connection. It is not faith against works and works against faith. This is together. It's the outflow. And I love what Martin Luther wrote. If anybody had the biggest opposition to a works-based salvation, it's Martin Luther. And I want you to listen to what he wrote. He said, "It is impossible, indeed, to separate works from faith, just as it is impossible to separate heat and light from fire." It is the natural outflow that we serve those around us when we have been served by the grace of Jesus Christ. You can't separate them. And so learn how to serve others in ministry. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and to ask Jesus the question we ask him every Sunday. And it's simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And then I just want you to listen to him for a moment. God, my prayer is that nobody would think for a moment that we're advocating that we need to prove our value to you or to each other by the things that we do. That's not what we're advocating at all. In fact, the scriptures seem to just point to the fact that those who have been transformed by Jesus Christ, there is this natural desire that is placed there by the Spirit, that's placed there by the gospel, that's placed there by someone who's being changed to simply want to help those around them discover and enjoy the exact same blessing that they have. And it seems to me that if Satan cannot remove people from the kingdom, he cannot pull them out of your kingdom, perhaps what he'll do is try to keep them to the side, ineffective, useless, watching others engage, when in reality, you have invited us to step in and use the gifts that the Spirit empowers us to do the ministry that you've called us to do. I pray for some of my friends in the room that you would grant us courage. Courage to step out. To go, yeah, maybe I'm not ready today. But in the fact of taking a step, God will prepare me. God will make me ready as he sees fit. There's faith involved with that. There's faith involved with serving someone. There's faith involved when sharing the gospel with a friend or a coworker, like all of these things. And my prayer is you would grant us faith and boldness to believe that your word is true and you want to use us in clear and remarkable ways in the lives of others. You know, for some of us in this room, this step of boldness will actually be prayer. And so we want to pray for you. And so let me tell you what's going to happen. The band's going to come up. They're going to lead us in just one more song. And during that song, we're going to have prayer leaders who are available in the four corners of the room right here. And this is an opportunity for you to receive prayer about absolutely any area of your life, any area at all. And you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. You don't have to be embarrassed to receive prayer because every single one of us needs prayer. I need it. You need it. And so this is simply an opportunity to minister to one another and to help each other step into faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask our prayer leaders if they'll head to those corners of the room so people know you're ready to receive them. And so at any time during the song, you can actually slip out of your seat and head to one of the corners and just share what your need is with the person in the corner. So, and we just ask this a moment, unless you have an emergency, we just ask nobody to leave the room at this time to just kind of really sit before the Lord and let him speak to you during this time. So I'm going to ask those who are in the room, let's stand as we transition into a time of singing and prayer. And if you'd like to receive prayer for any area of your life at all, we would absolutely love to pray with you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.